And it is Tuesday, June the 5th, 2012. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. Over the past several years, we've had a number of programs, and we have heard from all of you, a lot of you by phone or email, about bullying in Indiana, in our schools. And we have said on numerous occasions that it is against the law in Indiana to bully. Specifically, for those of y'all who want to take notes at home, Indiana Code Section 20-33-8-13.5 outlines it's against the law to bully, and specifically says that there must be rules adopted by the governing board of every school corporation, that's regular school corporations and individual charter schools, that must prohibit bullying and include provisions concerning education, parental involvement, reporting, investigation, and intervention. And then it goes on to say, and these rules must prohibit bullying through the use of data or computer software that is accessed through a computer system. It also bans bullying if it's on school grounds, before, during school, immediately after school, or any other time when the school is used in a school group, off school grounds in a school activity, function, or event, like a football game, traveling to or from school, using property or equipment provided by the school. And over these past several years, you've heard all of the cases, whether it was the Carmel mess with that basketball team, whether it is, if you've seen the front page of this morning's Indianapolis Star, a daughter and her mom living in Whiteland. And you know, ain't many of us living in Whiteland, Indiana, down in Johnson County. Bullying occurs everywhere in this country, in the rich neighborhoods, in the poor neighborhoods, in the big city, in the rural areas, where there's mountains, where it's flat, where it's a swamp, everywhere. How is it the greatest country in the world? We can do a whole lot of things. We can't solve bullying in our schools. In our studio today is a mom and a young man that they've been everywhere. They've been on CNN. They've been on Good Morning America. They have been written up on the Huffington Post, all kinds of websites, stories literally around the world, because the story of Darnell Dynasty Young touched people everywhere, not just in this country, because bullying also occurs over there, overseas. And a mom who tried to do everything in the rule book to stop the bullying and stand up for her child. And then she did something that I would not do as a dad or a granddad. But I don't know if I was in that situation what I might do. So mom, Chalisa Grimes is in the house. We're going to talk about, from their perspective, they've lived it. This is a young man. You may not like him for maybe some of the things he stands for, but he's one of God's children. He is a human being. He is due to be a senior, which would make him class of 2013. He wants to be a dancer. That is his goal. That is his dream. He is trying to pursue his dream. And with that, we welcome to the microphone Sister Chalisa Grimes, mom, and Darnell Dynasty Young, student. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Dynasty?
Yes, sir.
You done had a busy couple months.
Yes, I have.
What has the experience been like talking to people, you know, being written about literally around the world?
It's a lot to handle, but also I want to stand up for not just me and my story, but all the other students that lost their lives. Mm-hmm. I want to stand up for bullying people that doesn't have the chance to have the support that we have. I want to say that all the support that I have, it's overwhelming. Rallies, TV shows, everything. And I'm thankful that I'm here because I was at the point where I was at my lowest. And I thank God that I'm here.
You mentioned lives, and I think some of our listeners don't realize that sometimes a kid that gets bullied in school, whether it's because other students don't like the clothes they wear, or they don't like how they walk, or they're just being mischievous, and I might say evil, and they bully, and sometimes young people don't have all the armor to ward that off, and they can't, I don't want to say can't handle it, maybe the word, but they want to give up.
Give up, yes, sir.
And they'd rather go be with the Lord than to try to fight it out here. And I don't think people in our community realize that kids do commit suicide over bullying. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a rich thing. It's not a poor thing. It's not a straight thing. It's not a gay thing. These are kids of all different backgrounds that come to that awful conclusion.
Yes.
So you're trying to fight that.
I'm trying to fight that because I felt after all this stuff that's been going on at that school, I was at my lowest. And I didn't never – I love God. God blessed me with this life. Mm-hmm. And I would never, ever think of something so low. And when I did think of it, it hurt my feelings. I was crying. I talked to my mom. I don't know what to do. And I overcome it. I'll be stronger. And after I didn't care no more, that's when stuff got worse. And I don't know. That's what I want to fight. I don't want no kid in this world, in this life, to think like I did.
Mom, over the years when I've had people call this show and say they have a problem with bullying, and you've heard it, you hear the conversation in the community says, I'm going to teach my son, I'm going to teach my daughter to stand up for themselves and not take no mess in school. And I'm on one on the radio saying, wait a minute, now you do that, then your kid's the one that's going to get in trouble and the bully will get away with murder. You did something that maybe if listeners were honest, they'd probably say under their breath, yeah, I probably would have done that too.
Mm-hmm.
What led to that decision to give your son this, was it a stun gun or blaster thingamajig? What led you to that?
Well, it was a lot because I don't promote violence. Mm-hmm. And it was a last resort. I wanted to keep my baby safe. We have been dealing with this since the beginning of the school year. The very first day of school when I was enrolling him in school, mm-hmm. we was having problems then. After he came home and told me that people had thrown bottles at him.
Wait a minute, throwing bottles at him?
Yes, sir. They were spitting at him, throwing rocks at him. First of all, I teach my child to love itself.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to tell my child that's okay and to ignore that, I think that I would be kind of not owning up to me teaching him to love himself because it's not okay for somebody to hurt you.
Uh-huh.
Our kids are in a state of 911 right now. And that was my last resort. And it's kids going to school with guns, and they're using them.
Real guns.
Real guns. They're taking lives.
This was a toy?
It's actually called a self-protective flashlight. And I know that everybody really do not want to hear that. But in all honesty, that's what it is.
This is the thing where like a strobe light comes out of the thing?
Mm-mm. Okay. It's basically just a small little, basically like a little square toy. And you raise it up. It's not nothing that shoots out. It's just a.
It's electric. Not something with. Because see, when people hear the word gun,
yeah.
they
mm-hmm.
thinking,
yeah.
you know, John Wayne, they're thinking like,
right.
boom.
Yes.
It's
yes.
not like that. It's like
no.
a little flashlight thing?
It's kind of like a little flashlight. It's a flashlight.
How is that a gun?
It's not even a weapon. It's not. It don't have enough votes to kill nobody.
So this is something that if the ladies in the audience mm-hmm. needed to walk down a dark alleyway
that's exactly
and want to make sure the boogeyman don't come mm-hmm. after them, mm-hmm. that's what you
that's
flash.
That's what you use. That's what you use, yes.
Or if I wanted to walk down the dark alleyway, there's some dark alleyways, mm-hmm. and Rambo ain't with me, I'd have this and like, boom.
Yes. And it is not something you, in order to use it to affect somebody, you have to come to somebody. Mm-hmm. It's not that you go far and it shoots out. It's not a stun gun.
It's not a taser.
It's a self-protection flashlight.
So does that explain why there were no charges filed? Because, you know, I thought you carry any kind of weapon into a school building, that's the hard law comes after you. This wasn't a weapon under the law.
Right. Yes, it's not. And they also have to understand, too, that it was six kids surrounded my son.
Six.
And I think everybody is just really missing that point. And, Mr. Brown, I just really thank you so much for allowing us to sit down and talk, because it's a lot of things that I've been wanting to say. And the first thing I want to say is that Tech has some wonderful teachers.
Mm-hmm. That changed my life.
Tech has wonderful teachers. The problem is not our teachers. The problem is our leaders. Our problem, in order for our schools to run effectively, we have got to have leaders in positions that are doing their jobs, because first and foremost, our kids' safety comes first.
Mm.
Every child in this world deserves to go to school and to get an education and to be safe.
So far what we're learning is this thing was not a gun with a grip and a trigger.
No.
This was like a little scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another thing. At any time this past school year, were you ever admonished or cited for being out of uniform, for violating the uniform policy at Tech?
No.
At all, no.
No. That's part of the problem, because when they would call me and tell me the things that was going on in school, because the school was contacting me about Dynasty,
mm-hmm.
they would call me and ask me, well, do you know your child is gay? And I'm like, well, yeah, And a couple of times they called and I just asked them point blank, can you please call me and tell me this is about his behavior? Can you please call me and tell me it's about his grades, anything besides the way he's dressing? Because I make sure he's in uniform. It was the accessories that they did not like.
And the boots, the long boots.
Well, wait a minute. You were wearing boots.
I was
wearing,
yeah, because it was
that prohibited by the uniform policy?
Mm-mm. No.
Because I stayed in the color, or I would stay into what I matched. Basically, the accessories or the boots do not, it does not say anything about it.
So the footwear did not violate the rules?
No.
There were some that said you had earwear. I don't know.
Yep. Yes.
Just earring stuff like this.
The editor of the newspaper used to wear an earring like that.
Mm-hmm.
See, they were trying to tell me that he was going around there in Queen Elizabeth here.
Earring. Oh, no.
I'm just telling you what folk would be saying now.
Now, he would carry my bags.
Mm-hmm.
He would carry my bags to school for book bags.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, my bags are big enough for him to put his books
in. Wait, like a Vera Bradley bag?
Yes, sir.
Unless the rule book says a Vera Bradley bag ain't it. You know, there's some husbands that their wives, when they out shopping, it's the husband carrying the Vera Bradley bag. Now, come on, y'all. Y'all know what we're talking about here. So in all of this, never a citation for violating the uniform code.
Never.
And are you trying to tell me, Ms. Grimes, that school officials would call you to tell you about your son's orientation? That's none of their business.
Yeah. And not only that, they would tell me if he didn't change, that he would continue being bullied. And that was why I came
there's a policy we found this morning on the website of IPS. You got to really hunt for it and look for it, because it's under board documents. And it's called an anti-harassment policy. And it includes, supposed to include students, administrators, teachers, staff, and all other school personnel, including board members, agents, volunteers, contractors, and other persons subject to the control and supervision of the Board of Education. And it says there will not be harassment of individuals. Mm-hmm. That sounds, Ms. Grimes, to me like a violation of the board's anti-harassment policy.
But, Mr. Brown, you have to understand that the police is there on our campus. The mm-hmm. police is there to protect our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the police seen Dynasty. He said that he seen Dynasty extend his hand in the air, but you couldn't see the six kids around him. Soon as Dynasty went to his class, they came right to his class and arrested him. They didn't grab not one other kid. His friends even put together. His friends were so upset. They put together an investigation. They found two of the kids. Hmm. I haven't heard any. They came to my house to let me know that they found two of the kids that was part of the attack.
And one thing, when the police arrest me, he said that if you wasn't so flamboyant, they would probably leave you alone.
Leave you alone.
And I looked at him. Because I never got Fs. I never got suspended. I never did anything. If you see my transcript, you can see my grades went down. But
flamboyant and flamboyant in my mind would be coming out of dress code. Because to be a flamboyant person is usually flamboyant in dress, flamboyant mm-hmm. what you wear,
right.
Which means coming out in some different color other than mm-hmm. the thing. That's what flamboyant mm-hmm. means to me.
Mm-hmm. The principal told us, he told me, he said, I'll fight for your son's education if he's willing to change, if he's willing to change who he is.
Is there a policy at Tech that says students cannot be flamboyant?
No. Well, I asked during some of the phone calls, I asked, you know, is it something that he's doing that's breaking the rules? She told me, no, it's not. The vice principal, she said, no, it's not. She said, but as far as the kids bullying him and him being treated the way he's treated at this school, if he would stop wearing the jewelry and carrying the bags and the boots. And I mean, the things that I told her, I said, I teach my child to be himself and be good to people, treat people the way he wants to be treated. That's the big picture here to me.
And so they're asking you to modify behavior in the absence of a rule defining what modified behavior is.
Yes, sir.
You know, I know in some workplaces there are rules that define very specifically behavior,
mm-hmm.
But I don't see anything like that in any. And IPS, if you all are listening, you can send me an email at praiseindy.com. Actually, you actually do know my real email, so you can send me an email. And if there is a anti-flamboyant policy in the IPS schools, I'm watching my email. You can send that now. We're talking with Darnell Dynasty Young and Jaleesa Grimes, his mom. Where educational-wise, so now you are expelled until the 14th?
14th of next year, yes.
The 14th of this year?
Next year.
Next year, January 17th.
Sorry.
In 2013. That's.
Well, wait a minute. If you did not use a weapon.
I did not use it.
As defined in state law, which is either a firearm, a deadly weapon, or a destructive device, then how does the one-year mandatory expulsion stand?
Because they, in the hearing, they said that they had, but anyways, I felt like that when I raised it up, it was not towards nobody. It was not towards anybody. It was just in the air. I didn't use it to nobody.
So that this may be an issue that will be argued about down the road.
Well, I mean, it's really not too much they can argue about because where I purchased the self-protection device at, they're not able to sell anything that can kill you. They're not able to sell anything that can take your life. It's going to get you off of them.
I get that. And see, I'm looking at the state law that defines discipline policies for Hoosier schools. It defines firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It defines deadly weapon. It defines a destructive device. Everybody knows what a firearm is.
Right.
A deadly weapon is something a weapon that will kill you.
But Mr.
A destructive device is an explosive.
But that's what the under his expulsion, that's what they expelled. They expelled him under a deadly weapon.
Oh, no, no, no. Now, I may be an honorary attorney, and I realize I'm not the $500 an hour lawyer that IPS hires from the big law firms. But as they say in the country, that dog ain't going to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening in IPS, you show me in state statute that this little piece of flashy thing
mm-hmm.
is either a firearm, which it is not, a destructive device, which it certainly is not, a deadly weapon, which it is not. And there's something in here, and I got to look where it says that the superintendent may, on a case-by-case basis, modify the period of expulsion.
Wow.
Under subsection D, that's somebody that's bringing the firearm or the destructive advice. Gene White could cut this expulsion to the 14th of June of this year.
Wow.
Somebody at IPS don't read their own rules.
Mm. And then how do you throw away a child that, out of all of our kids that are dropping out of school, how do you throw away a child that wants his education? He's fighting for his education. The media and you know, everybody, because everybody is noticing he's been attacked. You know, we're not getting paid for any of this. Mm-hmm. We're not asking for any. We've turned down a lot of interviews mm-hmm. because we want to get our message out. Our kids are taking their lives, and I'm a mother that looked into a mother's eyes to a child who had took her life.
You were telling me before we went on the air, you asked me had I seen this movie Bully, and I have not yet. I really want to see that. I really want to, you know, take my granddaughter to see that, who's a senior in high school. But you're telling me you haven't seen the movie yet. Why?
I have the segment of the movie that I watched. I felt like it was PG, and I'm gonna only be honest with you, Mr. Brown. I felt like it was PG. I spoke with the mom during the movie, and I looked her in her eyes, and she had found her daughter hanging. She was due to bullying at a school. Her daughter took her last breaths in her arms. And the movie, I'm being honest, the movie was PG.
It needs to be rougher.
Because I think that that's why everybody is not taking this as so serious as that, because we hear about suicides across the country. We hear about this. When you bring all these babies together and you look at the amount of kids that we are losing, we cannot bring these kids back. Our principals, our vice principals, They have power position in our kids' lives. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're getting them ready for the future. And if I feel like, you know, everybody is talking about voting and, you know, it's time to start voting. But if we're just putting bodies in office, then what are we doing? Our kids, education and their safety should come first. They're dropping out of school, so they're not getting their education and they're not being protected. That's why they're bringing weapons to school.
We're talking with Darnell Dynasty Young, the student at Tech High School, who was bullied. School officials think he was, their words, flamboyant, but never broke the uniform rule, never was cited for being out of uniform. His mom, Chalisa Grimes, the school, in my view, was harassing her mm-hmm. about, you know, her son, instead of trying to come with a solution. And IPS's own bullying guidelines, which evidently are not in attached to the student handbook. You got to go in the website and be looking for it like you're Detective Columbo or something, specifically says that principals are responsible for informing students, parents, teachers, and staff that bullying will not be tolerated and will be subject to disciplinary action up to and including suspension and expulsion. Further, principals are encouraged to engage students, staff, and parents in meaningful discussions about the negative aspects of bullying. The parental involvement may be through parent organizations already in place in each school. If the complaint is dissatisfied with the process, they can follow the aforementioned process outlined in the anti-harassment policy. And parents or students who suspect that bullying is taking place should report the matter to the school principal. Upon receiving the report, the principal will investigate the matter at the building level, and consequences will be assessed as appropriate, consistent with the board's policy entitled student discipline. But Ms. Grimes, you're saying that was not done.
They didn't even give me an option. I asked the principal. I said, well, can we walk to school? Because Dynasty said, told the principal they hang out at the same place every period. Mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, well, how about we walk to school just to see if he can identify anybody? They didn't want to do it. They wanted Dynasty to change. That was it.
I see nothing in this policy of bullying that says the student being bullied must change.
Yes,
sir. If y'all are listening in IPS, yes, I'm learning these things for the first time, and I'm not pleased. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. We'll come back and you know, hear from Darnell, Dynasty Young. You know, what's his goals in life? I know he wants to be a dancer. He wants to be the next hip dancer, you know, that everybody talks about. We'll ask him about that and how he's going to, you know, continue his education. We'll talk with Ms. Grimes about how do we put a stop to bullying. Then a little bit later, we'll open up the phone lines at 239-1310, 239-1310. We can start taking your emails now at praiseindy.com or your text messages at 85620, keyword Amos. Or you can comment on our Facebook page, Amos Brown, WTLC. Amos Brown, WTLC. It's bullying. And some of the problem is caused by highly paid, overpaid, thinking too much, not thinking about their kids, administrators, and paper shufflers in our schools, not just IPS. Because we heard yesterday, Ms. Grimes, about, what was it, the Paramount School of Excellence, mm-hmm. a charter school, similar problems, similar insensitivity. It's if we can send a probe to Mars, we can cure bullying in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. This afternoon's with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. Let me ask Jaleesa Grimes, how do we solve this? How do we stop this? I mean, you've been out there on the firing line. You have talked to other moms and dads. How do we deal with this?
Well, first of all, I believe it starts at home. The man that attacked my baby, he came to the food court.
Just the one down in Circle Center?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. He came to the food court, and he was yelling. He was yelling some real foul words mm-hmm. to my baby. And the first thing I thought about, he said that he had a child that attended Tech. And the first thing I thought about was, if he's doing this in the middle of downtown at the food court, how's he talking in front of his kids at home? Mm. You know.
So this was not a peer. This was an adult.
He was 35. Yes, sir. And I feel like, you know, that's part of the reason. Everybody to each his own. I see people all the time that I don't agree with what they're wearing. I don't agree with a lot of things, but that's it. Everybody has choices. Mm-hmm. And just because you make the choices that you make, that doesn't, it shouldn't mean that your life should be in danger. And the other thing, the big part is, I feel, is that instead of electing people, because since this story is broke, I found out a lot of people is getting elected because they know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. People know people that know people. And I think that's the first thing needs to stop. I think we need to start putting people in office and making them responsible. Not just, you know, the perks to the job, whatever that is. But I feel like that they should know, you know, when you take this position, that you are responsible for our kids.
Is this something where, and you mentioned elected officials, and this is a school board election year. I found out this morning from the county clerk's office that school board candidates mm-hmm. will be filing for office in July, and the deadline's like the middle of August. Is this something where people like you and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that have had similar experiences with bullying need to go to all these candidates' mm-hmm. nights for school board, not just in IPS but out in the townships, and throw down and say, what y'all gonna do about bullying?
That's right.
And because exactly. These are the people that make the mm-hmm. rules.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. Because to me, when our kids taking their lives, it's become an epidemic. And that is just not a good word. We can't bring our babies back. Death is final. And we are losing our kids. And it just doesn't seem like anybody, as far as the school officials, it doesn't seem like they care. It seemed like it's easier to just get them out of school and get them out the way.
Is it an attitude of, well, that's just kids. Kids were bullying, you know, Cain and Abel's kids bullied each other. That bullying has been going on since the beginning of time. All you can do is slow it down. You can't stop it.
Well, maybe back in our days, maybe it was kind of like nah, 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 but people are not, our kids are not taking their lives over, you know, being teased about their hair, being teased about their, you know, their book bag. This problem is getting down into our kids' spirits. I mean, I actually met two moms, but I held one mom in my arm. We cried together. I mean, her daughter was bullied the same thing my son went through.
Are there support groups for folks like you? Are there anti-bullying support groups? I'm sure there are.
There are plenty of support groups, but I didn't know anything about the support groups until my baby's story broke. Mm-hmm. Once the story broke, I found out a lot of support, and I found out a lot about a lot of different organizations. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the reason, you know, I seen them do a whole campaign across the country on smoking. Mm-hmm. A whole campaign. I haven't seen anybody stand up and say anything about being bullied. I haven't seen, and then once it hits home, you know, it's different because it's your child or your niece or your nephew. But if we look at all of the kids like that, then I think that, you know, at least we would take some type of step into the right direction into helping them, because I haven't heard anybody tell bullies that it starts on the inside. Mm-hmm. It starts on the inside. When you are not feeling good on the inside and you're putting other people down, that means you have low self-esteem. You cannot put other people down to make yourself feel good. But I see a lot of adults that do it. So if you have an adult at home that is living like that and teaching their child that that's what they're going to come to school and do.
In the Black community, do we not take this seriously? And the reason I ask that, if you look at what happened at Florida A&M with the FAMU band, what happened to that kid was not just hazing. That was straight up stone cold bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And that school condoned that behavior
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years. Now it's a big scandal, probably going to end up to be a Lifetime movie of the week.
Right.
Is it that we as a community cannot condone, whether it's Dynasty at Tech, whether it's somebody mm-hmm. at a township school or a charter school, or a band member at a world-renowned band like FAMU Band, that we cannot tolerate this behavior in our own institutions?
I mean, most definitely, when Dynasty's story broke, I wasn't surprised who gathered around and, mm-hmm. and sent their support. Because as far as the African community, we had very little support from them. Very little, next to almost none.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in our family. Mm-hmm. Even in our family. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. Because if I see a child that needs, any child that needs help, that's one thing. But to see a child that looks like my child, I mean, I just really felt like more people, more African Americans would have got involved in, you know, in the bullying case, not just with Dynasty, but just bullying, period. I mean, it's taking our kids, it's taking our kids' lives. We turn our TV on, it's on TV, bullying. I mean, I don't understand why everybody is they don't take it as serious as they should.
Dynasty, so right now, let me go back to education. Because one of the things you told me when you came in the building today is that your mission is to get your education. That's job one.
Yes.
Because a lot of times a student gets expelled and they'd rather go run in the streets mm-hmm. and get, you know, a degree from the University of the Streets than mm-hmm. to try to deal with their education. And one of the things I noticed when I was reading the rules of the game, you're 16 and over, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
did IPS, in any of this process, give you any alternatives as to how you were going to continue your education?
No. Yes. Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
What did they do?
They told me, he said that he would fight for Dynasty's education if Dynasty would change.
No. I want to go beyond the change.
But that was
So IP, there's a thing in Indiana laws, Indiana Code 20-33-8-24. That's for the benefit of the lawyers at IPS who obviously don't read their own law. It's called Requirements for Reenrollment After Expulsion. This section applies to a student who is at least 16 years of age and wishes to re-enroll after an expulsion. A principal may require a student to attend one or more of the following: an alternative school or alternative education program, evening classes, or classes established for students who are at least 16 years of age. Did they even mention those rights to you?
Let me tell you something. At Tech, there is a program. I know my friends that got expelled for fighting and all this other stuff. They go to a program at Tech. You still go to Tech, but you don't go to with your other friends and all that other stuff. You just go to another program. They didn't even offer that to me.
So wait a minute. If you had, just duked it up, and if you tried to be Denzel Washington or Samuel L. Jackson and go, bah, 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 they would have expelled you and said, go to this program at Tech.
Yes.
Yeah. All you do is shoot off something that's not even a weapon under Indiana law, and they kick you to the curb?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eugene White did that? I can't believe that.
Yep. And my friends, they told me, he said, there's lots of people in there talking about how you such and such did this and how you're supposed to be in this program. They didn't even offer, they didn't even say nothing. I told mom, that's a program I can still go to. They said, I'm expelled, can't go here, can't get on the property, nothing. They kicked me out. And I was upset.
Give you an option to withdraw?
No.
Because my mama went, tell
them
what happened.
I talked to the principal about anything that
this
we could
do. This is Mr. Urell.
Yes. I spoke to him about anything we could do as far as my son's education. I told him that my son's education is very important to him. He told me the only thing that we could do is if he was willing to change the way he dressed, his jewelry. He named everything. He said, if he's willing to change, he said, then I'm willing to fight for his education. He said, but that's the only way that we'll be able to work this out.
But at the point of expulsion, when they did not file criminal charges, they did not say, quietly, you can just withdraw him and homeschool him. They did not even tell you that right under the law?
No, sir. He told the principal said he said that he understood why Dynasty felt like he needed to protect himself. He told me that. He told me that he conducted an investigation. He said everything Dynasty said was true. He said that a couple of people said that six people surrounded him. Everything that we said, he collaborated. He said that the witnesses said the same thing. I was under the impression that we're going to suspend him for five days for bringing the weapon because he wasn't supposed to bring it. Mm-hmm. But when he went back to school after the 5 days, he told me he was up for expulsion because he came back dressed the same way he was when they suspended him.
Back dressed that way, they did not cite him for a uniform code violation?
He was still in uniform. He's always been in uniform.
I've been out of school since April 16th.
I even asked the school, could they send him to Tech with his sister? Because she was in the over-under program there. And there's other transgender kids there. And they told me no. They wouldn't. And I told them, you only have to create a bus for him. There's a bus already there. They told me no.
So they, from IPS's point of view, they do not want this young man educated by anyone in Indiana for until next June. Unless he's homeschooled.
Until next January the 7th.
Until next January the 7th. January the 7th, 2013.
And home can't be homeschooled either. They said they're still under the law of
wait a minute. Did they tell you that in writing?
Didn't they tell us
that? No, did they tell you that in writing?
We just
There is no way in goodness green's earth. There's no way under God's providence let me go with you because I might get my stun gun out here in a minute. There's no way that a school system can tell a parent or a taxpayer that during an expulsion they don't have the right to homeschool their child. And if IPS is saying that, they're saying a bunch of...
Yep.
Goodness.
And Mr. Brown,
almost like they're condemning him to educational death.
They are.
I went from A's to B's. A's to B's. I never got an F on my report card. Never.
Until I came here.
I came here in August. Ever since I stepped foot in...
Where were you before?
I was in Arizona.
You were in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay.
And they do not, let me tell you something. Freshman year I came out, they do not, when they start calling me gay slurs, they handle that right there.
In Arizona?
In Arizona.
Mm-hmm. That they conservative.
Yes.
And that's a seriously conservative state down there.
Yes. That's why it's so surprising to people. They handled it right there. At the end of my freshman year, everybody loved me. Not once. I left sophomore year.
Was it a non-uniform school?
It's non-uniform. It's a public school.
Okay.
And they handled it right then and there. I was friends. The principal said, we do not condone all this stuff. When we're going to handle it, and we're going to protect you at our school. I not once had a problem with it.
So Arizona, state of Barry Goldwater, state of that crazy sheriff, state of some of them wild birthers, they could deal with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was safe.
But you know, that may also go back to Barry Goldwater. It was a very conservative person, but he also believed in the freedom of the individual. As long as the individual was not violating nobody, not messing with nobody, that's that rugged Western individualism. As long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you ain't bothering nobody, that's cool.
Yes, sir.
Where's Barry when we need him? Where's us? John McCain. John McCain, the same way. Yeah. John McCain sometimes goes off the reservation, but he stands for human rights and not any kind of mess. So the land of Barry Goldwater and John McCain could deal with it. IPS in progressive Indianapolis couldn't.
They said it's the time and place for everything.
It's a time and place for somebody to go to the unemployment line, I can tell you that. So how do you get an education?
We're trying.
I don't know what to do. We could move.
Wait a minute. He is blocked from going. Heron won't.
We tried
charter schools. They won't take. We're literally.
And the reason they gave the reason they gave was what? That we got a piece of paper from IPS that put the mark of Cain on you.
Yeah. Yes, basically.
How do they know what IPS said is the goodness honest truth?
But it doesn't matter. They expelled him, and once they expelled him from one school. They just can't enroll him in another school because they said he brought a deadly weapon. Those was the words that they used, deadly weapon. So even though we're fighting it in court right now, it's still he's expelled under a deadly weapon.
I can't wait to see the brief, the legal paper from IPS that tries to define this thing as a deadly weapon. That's a piece of fiction I really want to hear.
And the lady that sold it to us, she told us how many volts before it goes into deadly. Because we've used it on each other at the house. I have six other kids, and we've all used it, and it shocks.
What's the reaction of the other kids? How do they feel about all this?
They're upset. They have mixed feelings. As long as it's good people that's approaching us, they're okay. They love their brother. They don't care. If they don't care. That's how I raised my kids, to stick together and to be good. You treat people the way you want to be treated. And I know it sounds like I'm just doing this interview, but anybody knows me know that that's how I treat my kids.
I need to ask you, did you file an appeal on the expulsion?
I filed the appeal, but they had allowed somebody to change Dynasty's address and take him out of my custody.
What?
Yeah.
Who did that?
The school. So
how can a school take you? Wait a minute. How can a school? Oh, lawyers are getting ready. Somebody getting ready to have a lawyer's field day.
Only
a court can do that.
I had to have documents to enroll him saying that I was his mom. But somebody that Dynasty knows took him to the school, and they allowed them to take him out of my custody, and so I didn't receive the papers in time. Somebody that wanted to help us, they extended the
But the school system, monkeyed around with
the paperwork?
We missed it.
We missed it.
By sending it to the wrong person.
By sending it to the wrong address. The whole
That's
time,
not an accident in my view.
Everybody that was waiting, if you was following the story, everybody was waiting on the paper to see if he was going to be expelled. They had sent the paper out that Monday. We were still waiting Thursday. Thursday was the deadline. I didn't get the paper until Thursday.
So they already made the decision?
They made the decision Monday when we left.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I got a couple emails with some tips for you. We'll share that before you leave out of this building.
And Mr. Brown, yes. I do not condone violence, but I have never, the way life is designed, we would like to think that our kids are going to put us away before we put them away. And, I mean, these parents are really having to make funeral arrangements for their kids. This little girl right here is only 15. Mm. She was only 15 years old. She was pushed down the steps. Her hair was pulled out. It was, I mean, it's just not
and that's here and she lost her life this year, back in January.
She took her life the Super Bowl, the weekend of the Super Bowl.
Oh, Lord.
And they did no footage. They didn't say anything about her or anything.
If both of you could have something to say, there's thousands of people in our community listening right now all across central Indiana. Dynasty, if you could say a couple of things to them, what would it be?
I want to say, first off, you're not alone. You're not alone. You have a lot of support. And you keep strong and don't think low, because I've been there. And you can fight. You can fight this. And just stay strong and you'll get through it.
And Jaleesa Grimes.
It's really dear to my heart because we're losing our kids. And I just really want people to not to even focus so much on the device that Dynasty took to school, because I'm not going to say that it was right. I know it was wrong, but I couldn't let anybody hurt my baby. And they wasn't going to protect him. And I just want everybody to just, if everybody, one by one, take initiative to, even before you see it, it may not even be your child, stop a kid on the way to school and ask them, hey, how are you feeling? Is everything okay? I mean, it's going to take, people used to say it take a village. And I'm saying it today. It's going to take a village for us to stop bullying.
Darnell Dynasty Young. Jaleesa Grimes, this is more than I even thought. When the story broke, I kind of thought it was, and I was out, for a week when you had the rally and what have you, and then kind of came back and tracking back and we want to thank a couple folks on our staff that did the initial reach out to you, because this story, there's stuff we've heard today that the Star did not have. There's stuff we heard today that the television stations, good, and they've done a good job covering the story, have not. I heard stuff today that Robin Roberts and them didn't. Who'd you talk to on Good Morning America? Who did the interview?
I forgot his name. I'm sorry.
Was it George?
It was
little guy.
No, he was much taller
guy.
The taller and heavier.
Who's the taller and heavier guy?
And it's the girl with the big crew. Flower.
Oh, okay.
They sent the crew to our home.
Oh, the crew came.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went. They said CNN. They sent the car for us and took us to the studio.
Yeah.
But Good Morning America
came to the house.
Soon as the story broke, they were the first reporters there.
Okay.
They set up in our living room.
See, that's why they're beating the Today Show, Robin Roberts and George and them. We heard some things today that even they did not hear. Jaleesa Grimes, I know it took a lot for you, to make the decisions you made. I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your passion. That's what a parent is supposed to do, to stand up for their child. Darnell Dynasty Young, we're all children of God. We may disagree on the type of person you are.
but you're made in God's image. It's up to you. He's gave you free will to live your life, and it's up to him to be the final judge of how you make that life. A lot of young people would have given up. Some would have done what you kind of talked about earlier. Others would have just gone into the streets. But it takes more guts and more strength to want to stay on a positive path, to stay on a path of success. God bless you. Because that takes more guts than a lot of adults three or four times your age. Hang in there, my brother. It's Afternoons with Amos. We'll open up the phone lines and get your reactions to all of this. I got some. I even got some email stuff that I'm going to share with this family. It's Afternoons with Amos on a very deep Tuesday.